Good afternoon. It's so great to be here with you today, and Happy New Year. We get to say it twice, don't we? The second time, Happy New Year. When Nathan approached me a little while ago, asked if I wanted to join the rotation, I was excited and humbled at the same time. And when he told me the topic that I would be speaking about today is patience, I thought, oh, this is going to be challenging, but it's going to be good. And so I hope that you get even a portion out of it that from what I got out of it as I prepared. But today we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're continuing this series here, and we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 22 and 23. It's going to be up on the screen in just a moment, but until then, is it working? Maybe having some technical difficulties. That's okay. We can do this a little bit old school for now. If you haven't read Galatians chapter 5 yet, I encourage you to do it. It's really encouraging. It's a great passage of scripture, and there's a lot of content in it, a lot of meat, or in this case, a lot of fruit that you can get from it. But let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and I'll read it to you, but you can follow along on the screen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'll cut it off there for now. I've heard it said that we live in a microwave generation. Have you heard that? We live in a microwave generation. That's due to technology. That's due to different advancements, various other factors. But we want things delivered instantly or as quickly as possible. I mean, think about it. We live here. Suzhou is a great place. You can order food and have it delivered in an hour or less. That's pretty amazing. You can order a package one morning, order an item one morning, and it arrives to your doorstep maybe the next afternoon, and it could be from a few cities away. You can even get on your phone and find information almost instantly. You can Google it, Bing it, Baidu it. You can get information quickly. And a lot of people, they want instant gratification. And I think that this is part of the signs of the times that we live in. And it seems that a lot of people around us are not patient with anything or anyone that stands in the way of them getting what they want. Maybe you know someone like that. But I really believe that the cure to this, that we can get out of this mindset, we can get out of this environment, is by walking in the Spirit. We won't carry out the desires of our flesh. Instead, we will have the fruit of the Spirit, which includes patience, for example. So today, we're going to look at what is patience and why do we need it. So let's look at some context here. This is chapter 5. We're going to go through a few verses and just look at the context first, and then we'll continue. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Skip down to verse 16. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. Okay? Those are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, so we have these two opposing factors here at war with each other. Contradictory. Let's continue going to verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, here's the encouraging part, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. And so there we have it. That's our context for the fruit of the Spirit. Let's just do a quick comparison and contrast before we define patience. But in our passage, what we're looking at, Paul is giving us examples of the works of the flesh. I say 15 plus because he says, or similar things, right? This is not a complete list. This is just kind of representative. And Paul's saying, you know, this is obvious. If you're a Christian, you live in the world, you're around people who don't believe like you believe, it's obvious the desires of the flesh. And then he gives us 9 fruit of the Spirit. And again, maybe this is representative. But the point here is that there's one Spirit, there is one God. But the way that this comes out is that there are many fruit. So as I was studying this, I was reading what people were saying about fruit. You know, is it fruits? Is it plural? Is it fruit? One fruit? Okay. And people, you know, depending on who you read, different opinions here. But the idea here is that it's in unity, right? If you go to the grocery store, for example, the supermarket fruit stand in your neighborhood, and you see all these different fruit, well, maybe you don't like bananas or apples. Well, maybe you like oranges. You go and you pick. You choose which fruit you want to buy. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, we don't get to pick. It's not like, well, today I want love, but I don't want patience today. Maybe you say, I want a little joy in my life, a little peace, but I don't want kindness. Well, wait a minute. These all go together. And some would argue that really there's only one fruit, and it's love. And this is how you express love. You express love through your patience and kindness to other people, through peaceful relationships with their people. That's how you express love. And so that's one way to look at it. So Paul is saying here the particular one, because it's exactly the opposite. It's a complete contrast to patience. And this is outbursts of anger. Have you ever been around someone and they're angry all the time? Maybe you've been around someone, a friend, a family member. They're just not enjoying life, and they let you know it. Outbursts of anger. And here, Paul's giving us a warning against the works of the flesh. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is getting heavy, isn't it? But on the positive end, the results of the fruit of the Spirit, the law is not against such things. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the desires of the flesh, the passions of the flesh. So if you're walking in the Spirit, the Spirit's going to help you crucify those things. Put those things away. Put those things behind you. So if you live by the Spirit, Paul's encouraging us, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So this is a bit of a word study, but we'll have some application toward the end. So what is patience? And in the Greek, makarathumia, it means patience, long-suffering, or forbearance. I used to work in a library before I came to China, so I like definitions. And so here we have patience. Accept or tolerate delays, problems, without becoming annoyed or anxious. That sounds good, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be anxious, and I definitely don't want to live life annoyed. But we need to accept delays, problems, suffering. And how about this one, long-suffering? If you read the King James, I think it uses long-suffering quite a bit, but it means having or showing patience in spirit or in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. Wouldn't it be great if we could just get along with everybody? I really wish that. And I know sometimes, right, we can't help it. We have these relationships. Maybe it's a personality conflict or clash. You're trying to get along. You just can't. I don't know. But we have other people in our lives. And we're tempted, right, to speak out, to get revenge, whatever it is, if they do something we don't like. So then forbearance. This is a good word. Patient self-control, restraint or tolerance, not taking action, is it? Not taking revenge. So let's continue a little bit with this, Makarios Oumia. Slowness in avenging wrongs. I like that one. Endurance, constancy, steadfast perseverance. There's another Greek word for this, a synonym. I think we'll see that later in one of the passages. But here we have this steadfastness. Okay, makros means long, and thymos means passion or anger. This is an interesting word. It's a compound word. Wow. Okay. So long passion, but it's the anger kind of passion. Long anger. Interesting. Long anger. But what it means is you need to wait a long time before acting on this anger, right? Wait a sufficient amount of time before expressing it, because this will avoid the premature use of force, retribution, right? That rises out of improper anger. Improper anger. Let that sink in for just a sec. Waiting a proper amount of time. Makarios Oumia embraces steadfastness and staying power. If in English we had such an adjective, long-tempered, that's our adjective, right? It's counterpart to short-tempered. This is a quality of God, being long-tempered. Interesting, isn't it? Well, there's good news, everyone. God is patient with us. Aren't you thankful for that? Yeah, amen. I don't know about you, but I am very thankful. God is patient with me. Even on my best days, I know that I need God to be patient with me. So in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, it says this, "Therefore, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy." There is a little bit of this element where we think we're waiting for God. But, you know, quite often he's waiting for us. And the good news is he's waiting to show us mercy. He's waiting to show us compassion. I think that's good news. Exodus chapter 34. This is talking about Moses. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to third and fourth generation. So God is slow to anger. God is merciful and God is compassionate. Even if you don't think you need it, I think we all need it. I think we all need compassion. But I am glad that I don't get the punishment that I deserve from God. Let's continue. Look in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 1:16. "But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life." Paul is saying he's the worst of sinners. Now remember, Paul persecuted the church. He persecuted Christians, the way. And so he's saying that he's the worst of sinners, but God had mercy on him. So I don't know about you, But how could we be that? But if you think you have a past that you're not proud of, God forgives you. He has forgiven your past. He's wiped it away. It's clean. Clean slate. Appropriate for the new year, isn't it? Clean slate. Start with a clean slate. For those who would receive eternal life. Romans 2. Or do you despise the riches of his kingdom, riches of his kindness, restraint and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? There it is. God is merciful, kind, compassionate to lead you to repentance. Slow to anger. 2 Peter 3. 9, 14, 15. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things, make every effort to be found without spot or blemish in his sight, at peace. Also, regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our dear brother Paul has written to you according to wisdom given to him. So God is patient with us so that we'll come to repentance. Maybe there's someone in your family, or your friend, a coworker that you're praying for, and you think, God, when is this going to happen? Why is this taking so long? God is being patient with them until they repent. Maybe they're just being stubborn. Maybe there's something else keeping them from receiving salvation. So I ask the question, why do we need patience? Number one, I would say, according to scripture, to not give offense. To not give offense. In 2 Corinthians, it says, we are not giving anyone an occasion for offense so that the ministry will not be blamed. Instead, as God's ministers, we commend ourselves in everything by great endurance, by affliction, by hardship, by difficulties, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. Maybe you've heard people say this. I hope not, but I've heard this before. People say, I'm great with Christ's teaching. I love his teaching. I'm just not good with Christians. We don't want to come across that way to people, right? We don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to say one thing that we believe and do a different thing. But by patience, by love, the fruit of the Spirit, right? We won't cause this offense. If people don't want to believe in God because they want to stay in the dark, that's between them and God. But let's not be a stumbling block for anyone else. Next one, to walk worthy. In Ephesians, Paul writes, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. Did you hear some of the fruit of the Spirit in that? Did you see that? Some of the fruit of the Spirit? So that we will walk worthy of our calling. We are called into the family of God. If you believe in God, you are a child of God. Isn't that exciting? We can call God Abba, Father. It's a high calling. Let's not take it lightly. In Colossians, for this reason, we all also, since the day we heard it, do knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience, here's the synonym, the other word for patience, that's endurance, and long suffering with joy. Couple more. To live a holy life. Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against one another, Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes it's hard to forgive. I think maybe you can relate. Sometimes, no matter what, that person hurt me. That person wronged me. My reputation's at stake. Whatever it is, it's hard to forgive. But God forgave us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The offense of someone toward us, I don't think is as great as our offense toward God, but he forgave us. So why not forgive others? It's hard. It really is. But it's good and it's right. In Proverbs, it says, a person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. There it is. You want to live a holy life? Ask God for that insight, that wisdom, that help to be patient. And through it, you can overlook an offense. That's wisdom for you. To preach and teach. I think there are a few teachers in here, maybe some preachers. But here, Paul is writing Timothy saying, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. If you've been in education for a while, then you probably have noticed some changes in the behavior of students. I hope not, but most likely. Maybe it just seems that the world is changing at a rapid pace. It's getting darker. It feels that way sometimes. But it's because people are not tolerating, they're tolerating less and less the truth of the gospel. And they're surrounding themselves with social media or with people who tell them what they want to hear or who agree with their opinion. And now, I've heard this, the cancel culture. You don't agree with someone on their social media, delete it, cancel, move on. You don't have to hear what you don't want to hear. Isn't that true? Yeah. People are tolerating the truth less and less. So we need to be more and more patient as believers. As we work our way toward the end, I want to look at this story about Mary and Martha. I think that we can benefit from it. On the surface, maybe it doesn't seem like it's talking about patience, but I think it is. So let's take a quick look. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who was also at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. So in this context here, in this culture, Martha's the hostess. She expects her sister to help her. And when they have a guest, in this culture, you have a guest, you provide for them whatever they need, you take care of them, you feed them. And so Jesus and most likely the men are sitting, talking, and the women are preparing the food. It's just how it is in that culture. But Mary is sitting, listening to the teaching of Jesus. And Martha is trying to get everything prepared, and she's getting frustrated. She's starting to get impatient with her sister. So she goes out to Jesus. I don't know if it's one room, however it's set up, goes to Jesus. Jesus, please tell my sister to come help me. Give me a hand. And what does Jesus say to her? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. So I think we can take a few things from this lesson with Mary and Martha from this story. First of all, personally, right? What you're doing you might feel justified in your actions, okay? I'm sure Martha felt justified going to Jesus and saying, My sister is not helping me. She's neglecting her duty. Tell her to come help. She felt justified in that. And culturally, she was right. And as we go through life, many times you're going to feel justified in your anger toward others or your impatience toward others. You're going to feel justified in that. But being merciful and gracious is in line with how God would respond, how Jesus would respond. Being merciful, being gracious, being patient. The next one, your time is important. It is. And the things you are doing are important also. But let's be honest, are they more important than what other people are doing? Sometimes we get wrapped up in what we're doing. It's so important. And the people who I'm depending on, they're just not respecting my time, or those people are getting in my way. Whatever it might be, whatever it might be, that's not, you're not, your work is not as important as mine. Is that really true? But if you compare it to the time that we can spend with Jesus, as Mary was doing, right? Mary's sitting at the feet of God, enjoying relationship with God. I think everything else doesn't match up. It falls short of time with God. Now, I'm not saying neglect your responsibilities. Don't say, well, Jeff said I can neglect my responsibilities to read my Bible. That's not what I'm saying. It's important in the right order. But what we're doing is secondary or tertiary compared to time at Jesus' feet. Keep that in mind as you interact with other people. Relationship is important. Don't let things get in the way of relationship. Third, your reputation, your pride might get injured by another person's actions. Right? Martha, I'm sure that she didn't want the neighbors to find out that she's such a bad host because Mary wasn't helping her prepare the food and get everything ready for Jesus. Her reputation is on the line. Well, so it is with us. Our reputation might be on the line depending on how we interact with people. But that doesn't matter as much as humility, being humble, being patient. That's the way of the cross. And Jesus' response was full of patience and understanding. He even says, Martha, you are worried and upset. Jesus knew. He understood. But he was patient with Martha. Mary has made the right choice. He spoke the truth in love. Application and then conclusion. 1 Corinthians 13. Here it is. Definition of love. You want to know what love is? Love is patient. There it is. Love is kind. Another fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable, does not keep a record of wrong. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love. Love. Against such things, there is no law. Love. Long-suffering, that's patience. Is love on trial, tested, right? Love refined and selfishness conquered. So if you struggle with patience, you're really struggling with love, isn't it? Let's boil it down. If you're struggling with patience, it's because you're struggling to love other people. And if you don't have patience working in you, you're not going to reveal a Christ-like image to the world. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Isn't that true? So as we conclude, I wanna challenge you. I think no sermon is complete without a challenge. But I want to challenge you to seek a cure for this microwave generation that we're part of. And what is that cure? I think quite simply, it's love. Patience. Patience is how we exercise love in some respects. But walk in the Spirit. don't give in to the desires of the flesh, even though they're warring inside of you. They're warring against the Spirit. Overcome those outbursts of anger. Yeah. Short temper. Yeah, I'm preaching to myself. Overcome those with the fruit of the Spirit, especially patience. Before I hand the microphone over, before I transition, I want to pray for you. That'd be all right. Let's pray. Father, I thank your Son died for us. Thank you so much, Father. And I pray that you constantly experience that love. Everyone here in this room, everyone online hearing this message, that we will love others as well. That we will experience your love and share that love with others. And I thank you, Lord, even for difficult topics, for challenging messages, that there's still truth, still something to be gained. And so I pray that for every one of us hearing this message, Lord, that you will speak to us, that you put the kernel of truth inside of us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.